Well, the scripture says there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and I'm sure thankful for that. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to look into the word of the Lord this morning and ask that you would pray that the Lord would be able to speak to us. I'd like to share with you a burden that the Lord's laid on my heart that I pray will be a blessing. I'd like to continue in the vein that I shared last weekend, considering the importance of seeking God's will in our life. I'd like to think now, by the Lord's help, about seeking understanding and wisdom. I'd like to begin in Proverbs, the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter of Proverbs, we begin here in the fifth verse. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. If you've ever gone shopping in the store, maybe you have a lot of items that you need to buy or that your wife or your mom needs you to buy, it's generally a good idea, at least for me, to make a list that I can check off that I know that I'm not missing something. Solomon here is imparting to all of us, as you're going through life, there's some things that you need to make sure that you get. Some things that you need to make sure you don't leave behind or forget. Get wisdom. Get understanding. And he talks about the importance of it and what it'll do for us. It says wisdom is the principal thing. The most important of all in our lives. To seek wisdom from the Lord. And in all of your getting, there are a lot of things that we can focus on getting in life. Some of which we need to put some attention towards, being able to secure and try to obtain. But in all of your getting, make sure you don't leave out obtaining wisdom. And I'd like for us to consider what I believe is a progression, a journey, a quest that every one of us should be on. And that is the quest to obtain understanding and wisdom. Understanding and wisdom is about more than obtaining information. And I'd like to try to delineate some of the difference between it. We live in an information, what I would call an information age. We have more information available to us, and I don't have stats or data at the moment to prove this to you. But if you can accept the idea of it, I believe we have more information at our fingertips that we can obtain in just a few clicks than what some of our forefathers could obtain in a lifetime when it comes to information. But we don't see that translated into an abundance of godliness in our world. Information in and of itself is not what we need to obtain. It's not what we need to reach unto. There's something more that should come. I'd like to look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. It says of those in the last times, there would be some who are ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I want to ask you, is it good to learn? Can you learn if you have no desire to learn? It makes it awful difficult, doesn't it? If somebody is in class and that's the last thing they want to do and the last place they want to be, I don't care what you have to say, I don't need this, I have no appetite for it. It's a good thing to learn, to be able to increase in our knowledge and our understanding. You know, whenever a tradesman is starting out in his trade, it's a good idea to learn. You know, even in the trade, say a painting. You know, there came a time when other methods were introduced, such as the use of a paint roller. And there were some people that said, I don't need that. I don't need a paint roller. I've always used a brush, and that's worked fine for me all my life. I don't need to try something different. And it became very difficult to compete with the painters that were going out using 12, 18-inch wide rollers and then sprayers that they could use on large areas like the side of a house. It became hard to compete. There's benefit in learning. There's benefit in remaining open, that I'm not just closed-minded to more information, or you present to me a different method, a different way, and I'm open to learning that. I believe there's benefit and wisdom in that. But being open to learning is not the goal. That's not the end objective, is just learning. Because we can be on a quest to learn. I want information. I want as much as I can get. And again, we're saturated with information today. If you want to go buy, you pick a household appliance. You know, you could spend nearly an endless amount of time researching that particular appliance. You could find all the details and the performance, and you can find reviews of consumers that have purchased this item. You can find people that have purchased multiple of these items and tried them all and written their review of it. And you can compare prices, and you can compare marketplaces and all of that. There's a wealth, I'll say, of information available to us to do that. We're not at a shortage of information today. We are at a shortage of wisdom and understanding. I don't want to stop with just getting a bunch of information, ever learning, but yet never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And this word that Paul uses for knowledge, it's more than the Greek word gnosis, just having a head knowledge. It is a full experiential knowledge. Repeat that, a full experiential knowledge. It's more than just a head knowledge. It's more than just ideas. There can be so many ideas that we become saturated with, and yet it never really takes meaning in my life. It never really does anything for me. Whenever Paul met with the men in Athens on Mars Hills, he said, You're way too superstitious. These people, it said, spent all their time doing nothing but hearing or telling of some new thing. They loved information. They loved the sharing of ideas. But all those ideas mixed and jumbled together in one mess of a superstitious religion. Paul said, no, that's not what you need. Let me declare unto you that unknown God, that in all of your information gathering, in all of your listening, in all of your hearing, all these different ideas, it has never translated to you into a knowledge of who this God is. More, again, than just a head knowledge or an idea, but a full experiential knowledge. I am convinced. I am convicted. It has been revealed. I see it. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. There is one true God. And all of your understanding, you've never gotten to that point. You realize the folly of gathering information and nothing besides that. We can have all the information at our fingertips. And we can have the credentials to authorize us to wield that information and still not understand what gender can bear a child in our day. Still not be able to define what a woman is. Still not be able to define things that should be most basic. I've got all the information, but I've never been able to come to a knowledge the full experiential understanding or knowledge to myself of the truth. It should be more than information we're after. It should be truth that we're after. Lord, I want an understanding of the truth. I don't want to just float around in this cloud of thoughts and ideas and theories and philosophies. I want to be able to come to, Lord, what is the truth? In a time where it's so relative, where it's hard for people to accept even that there is truth, that it's all relative, it's your truth, it's my truth, it's all just ideas on an equal plane. To be able to know and accept that there is truth. And all this debate and all the questions and all of the skepticism and all the ideas that are presented, there is still truth. And it is for me to say, Lord, I want that truth. I want to be able to attain it. I want to be able to understand it. Of all their knowledge, they never are able to come to a knowledge of the truth. I want to think about what Peter's confession was in Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus had been ministering now for some time, the disciples following him. There came a time of Jesus, Matthew 16 and 13, came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." There were all kinds of ideas of who Jesus was. And you know, likely each person that had an idea of who Jesus was had a reason for why they believed that. And perhaps some of them, it wasn't that they weren't intelligent. It wasn't that they were ignorant in terms of knowledge. They probably all had compelling arguments of why they believed that Jesus was this or that or a prophet or John the Baptist. And they could lay out for you, maybe more convincingly than I can make an argument. This is why it is beyond a doubt. This is why we know that Jesus is this. And Jesus cut through all of that and said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Oh, if we can get a hold of this. Flesh and blood's not where you learn that, Peter. It wasn't by going and interviewing a whole bunch of different people. What do you think? Who do you think Jesus is? Well, I'm going to take notes here. What evidence have you gathered? It didn't come from man. It didn't come from school, not knocking school or education. But that's not where this revelation of truth came from. It didn't come from men. It didn't come from their institutions of learning. This came by revelation of the Father unto your heart, Peter. You know it's what every one of us need. We live in a world that we are bombarded with ideas and philosophies of religion and of humanism and on every hand. But the question comes down to, for every one of us, who do you say that the Lord is? What do we say? It's not that what we say determines what the truth is, but that's what's vital for my soul, is to be able to get a hold of and understand and get a revelation of the truth for myself. Is it possible? Well, let's see how it's not possible. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. 1 Corinthians 2, we'll read the 6th verse, beginning. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught." There is a wisdom of this world. There is what appears to be wisdom, at least. Information gathered and conclusions drawn and systems built upon that seem logical, but it says it comes to nothing. It comes to naught. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, We'll skip to the 10th verse. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Whenever it comes to the things of God, intelligence isn't what's going to get us there. It's going to have to be the Spirit of the Lord revealing unto me truth. And that truth will be something that to the world appears to be foolish. You read that in the chapter before this. God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Those that are wise in their own mind. I've got it all figured out. I've got all the answers. You know, you don't have to go very far to find people that are very confident in what they believe, whether it's right or not, whether it has any objective basis in truth or not. I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, they can speak with confidence on it. That's not what determines truth. What if, believe in Romans, the 3rd chapter, what if some should not believe? Does it make the truth of God of none effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Or God will be true. His word and his ways will always be true. Man may not agree with it. Man may not understand it. And man cannot understand it. In our own selves, in our own abilities to logically draw conclusions, we will fall short. You know, God's given us each one intelligence. He's given us each one to an extent the ability to reason, the ability to come to logical conclusions. But it won't be enough. When it comes to getting a hold of what it says here is a hidden mystery. The truth. The truth of God's word. You know, if we have knowledge alone, it'll leave us with pride and legalism. And you know, we as Church of God, we can have a lot of knowledge. But you know, if it doesn't go beyond information, I've gone to camp meetings, I've heard messages, maybe I've read some of the books and I've read some of the papers and I have knowledge. I know what the church teaches. I know what the church believes. I've got information. That in and of itself is not enough. If we have nothing more than a knowledge of information, it'll leave us in a place where we have pride and legalism and we can have a harsh spirit. You know, the Lord wants us to go beyond in our pursuit, in our getting. Don't stop with information. It's good to get information. In fact, in Romans, the 10th chapter, it says, how shall they believe unless they hear? And another scripture says, faith cometh by hearing. We hear information and we take that in. That's the starting point. We can't stop there. I need something mixed in with that. There are some who said that didn't benefit, the word they heard didn't benefit them because it wasn't mixed with faith. There's something in our quest, in our seeking, that I need to seek for besides just information. Lord, I need something more than this. It's good that I know what the church teaches. It's good that I know what my parents said. I know what the preacher said. But Lord, I need to be able to stand on something firmer than that. Information should translate into understanding. And understanding should translate into wisdom. And I want us to understand the differences between it. We've trying to describe what information does and information alone. We need to be able to have understanding. I start to see now why. I start to understand why the Word of God says this. It's not to say we'll become all understanding like God in this life, but I start to be able to connect some of the dots. I understand why the Lord has imparted this. It gives me an understanding down in my soul. A conviction, like Peter said, Lord, Thou art the Christ. It's more than information now. I have an understanding. My soul has been enlightened to be able to receive the truth of this. But you know, if we have understanding alone, we can be ever so sincere, and we can have convictions that never translate into action in our lives, that never really get incorporated into my life. Yes, I have a conviction. I can hear the message and I can say, yes, I know that's truth. I know that's right. I can be like the man that says, yes, I'm going to do something about it. But I go my way and I'm not changed at all by it. You see, wisdom is about taking the understanding that I have of these things and the Lord giving me wisdom, not from beneath, but from above, to be able to know, Lord, what does this mean in my life? Lord, what does this knowledge of your will mean in this situation that I'm facing right now? Lord, how do I translate that into this circumstance, this decision that I'm needing to make right now? To seek. Believe that if we have knowledge, or even if we have understanding, it can lead to a false sense of security. Well, I know a lot. I'm even convinced about a lot. There are a lot of people that are satisfied to be able to say, you know, I don't have any reason to challenge. I'm comfortable with this. I'm satisfied with what I've heard growing up. But I want to challenge us that is not enough. Yes, I want the Lord to satisfy and settle us. But I want it to be not as a result of spiritual laziness, but as a result of our pursuit of understanding and of wisdom, that I am persuaded and convinced of the truth. So what does it mean to seek? Seeking is about more than sitting on the couch and hoping that it'll come my way. Seeking is about more than just assuming that it is. To seek is to go in pursuit or quest of what you have not. Folks, do you recognize any place that you have not? Do we see any place that I say, you know what? I've always accepted that this is the truth. But now that I think about it, I don't know how deeply I really believe it. You know, the Lord wants us to seek. We have examples of seeking in Scripture. Well, many of them. But I want to refer to a couple parables. A man seeking goodly pearls or treasure hidden in a field. You know what seeking caused that man to do? That he was willing to go and sell everything that he had to be able to obtain that. You know, we should have that same kind of ardent desire and that same kind of diligence in our pursuit of being able to get understanding and wisdom. A woman who lost a coin in Jesus' parable. It said that she swept the house. I believe she searched diligently to find that one lost coin. I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to seek after me when I was lost. That he didn't just stop at the first appeal, but he sought and he sought and he followed. You know, we're supposed to seek and seek and follow after. If there's something that I don't understand, and I'll tell you there's a lot in the Scripture that I don't have a full understanding of, And I don't want to get complacent and settled. Oh, it's good enough. Lord, help me to understand. Lord, help me to be able to have more of an understanding. And not just an understanding of these concepts and how they all fit together, but Lord, what it means in my life. Wisdom. Let's turn back to Proverbs and read the second chapter. A roadmap of how we should seek after these things. Proverbs 2 and verse 3. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, and every good path. But the part for us to play. Folks, the Lord's willing to give us wisdom. James said, if any man lacks wisdom, ask of God. Go to the source. In our quest, it's important not only that we're on a quest, not only that we're seeking for wisdom, but it's important where we go to seek for it. It's important that I not just go to the world, that I not just go to whatever resource of research and acquiring information you might go to, but go to the Lord. Go to the source of wisdom. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And if we seek for wisdom, Lord, I've got a lack. I need wisdom as a parent, as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, as an example of the believers. Lord, when I face people that are critical and asking questions and challenging what I believe, I need understanding of the Word of God. You know, it wasn't until I really began to face some people that believe things different than me, that really began challenging me. Well, no, that's not what the kingdom of God is. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. Let me tell you about tongues. Let me tell you. And people that would question and ask and challenge. You know what it made me do? It made me begin to seek. It made me begin, Lord, I need something for myself. I have some information. I know that's not what we believe. I know we teach something different. That's information. And even some knowledge. But Lord, I need to be able to understand. I need understanding from the Word of God. Lord, why do I believe what I believe? Why do we teach what we teach? You know, God is faithful to reveal it to us. If I have the heart that says, Lord, I want to know. I want to understand these things. The Lord's able to reveal it unto us. You ever heard of Forrest Fenn? Forrest Fenn was still is, a wealthy man. And he decided in 2010 that he would create an adventure. And so he put about what was estimated to be $1 million to $2 million of treasure in a box. And he went and hid it. And he wrote a series of, I don't know, articles or maybe a book that gave different clues to where this treasure was found. And he began to get the word out. As people heard about this treasure, people began to seek for it. Not just a few, but hundreds of thousands of people read the poems, got the clues, began trying to figure it out. There were online forums and communities where they would try to draw out the maps and logically go through all these clues and what they mean and led them to conclusions. And there were people that began to quit their jobs to go in quest and make this their life quest. I know where it is. I've got to figure it out. I'm going to go after it. It's worth it to quit my job and to sell everything. People that use their life savings to go in pursuit of this treasure that they were sure they could find. The search went over the course of 10 years. And during that time period, at least 5 people lost their lives in pursuit of this treasure. Until in 2020, I believe it was, A man named Jack Stafe found it. He didn't reveal his identity for quite a while. Faced legal challenges, people pretty upset. They were sure they knew where it was, but they couldn't find it. He finally, a few years later, revealed his identity and said, "You know, I was convinced all along that people were overcomplicating it. They were coming up with fantastical ideas, and it's got to be in the most far-flung places, and people were trying to climb nearly impossible places to reach, hence people losing their lives trying to find it." He said, "You know, I was just sure." The mind of the author, it was simpler than that. It wasn't something fantastical. And if I could just follow a consistent pattern of his clues, that I'd be able to find it. And he didn't quit his job, but he stuck with it. And he kept time after time. He kept digging and pursuing and following the clues until he uncovered it. It wasn't in a far-flung place. They still haven't revealed the exact identity, location of the place. But he said it was just lightly concealed by a source of water and in the mountains. The box was weathered by the time he found it, but he opened it up. Sure enough, there it was. Folks, if we could seek after understanding and wisdom like these people sought after that treasure, I'm willing to leave all. I'm willing to forsake all. And you know what I believe we'll find? It's not these far-flung, fantastical ideas that so many people try to create. You think about just the end times. All the ideas and philosophies and movies that have been created and books that have been written about the end times and what's going to happen in this alleged kingdom that would be set up on earth and all of this. And I've read some of their philosophies and ideas. I don't recommend that you go source your information from those places, at least until you become firmly grounded on the Word of God. But as I've read some of that, where did that come from? It clearly didn't come from Scripture, but people drawing their own conclusions about all these things that they've imagined truth to be. That's not what defines truth. People overcomplicate the truth. But if we have hearts that are honest and searching, Lord, I just want to know the truth. And Lord, I want to know what it means in my life. You see, we can't decouple truth and wisdom from the truth about me. It really starts with, and in 2 Thessalonians, I believe it talks about those that have or don't have a love of the truth, that they would be deceived and given over to all these things that are not true, these fables, because they don't have a love of the truth. They aren't seeking after truth. And it really starts with me saying, Lord, I have a love for the truth. Wherever it points, wherever it leads, whatever it shows me about myself, Lord, I'll follow that thing until you give me understanding and wisdom about how to apply it in my life. Lord, help us to have a pursuit of wisdom. I want us to understand the pursuit of wisdom and the pursuit of truth is not the same as the pursuit of validation. Where I am in pursuit, I know what I want to believe, I know what I think, and everything I seek after is to validate my assumptions and my belief. Today, people are trying to, instead of seek truth, they're trying to redefine it. They're trying to shoot first and then draw the bullseye later. You understand the significance of that? I can always hit the bullseye if I shoot first, and then wherever I hit, I go draw the bullseye around it. That's the truth. What I believe and my conclusions and my findings, that's the truth. But that's not what truth is. People have elevated their opinions. And it seems to me that people today aren't so much on a quest of seeking for truth as they are, well, this is just what I believe. Well, why do you believe that? Well, it's just what I believe. It's just the way it is. Well, do you have any reasons? Well, I'm satisfied, and so many people I talk to, it's like you try to work with them a little bit, but there's no curiosity, there's no desire to know, is this really truth? is this really right? You know, if what we believe and what we stand on is the truth, it will withstand scrutiny. We don't have to be afraid of our young people saying, I want to understand for myself. Now, there's some balance to that as young people of how we go about that. But if my search is, I want to know the truth, I'm not starting with a starting point and saying, I just don't believe that. Well, why not? Well, I just don't believe it. I just don't think that's necessary. Well, on what basis? Well, everybody else, no. If my starting point is, Lord, I want to know what you think about it. I want to know what you say on the matter. You know, we can trust the Spirit of the Lord to lead people into all truth. I wonder sometimes why other religions and other countries, especially strongholds of those religions, why are they so fearful of Christianity? Why do you care if I go into that country and proclaim the gospel from every street corner? Because if there's no merit to it, I ought to just be laughed to scorn and nobody would accept it anyway. But there's something they're afraid of. A power behind truth that they're afraid of. I don't want to prolong this too much this morning. If you'll bear with me a little bit more, I want to read to you a quote from a man who is a Harvard geneticist, Richard Lewontin. He wrote this in the New York Review of Books in 1997. This man, as a geneticist in Harvard, is an evolutionist, doesn't, what I can gather from his writings, believe in God or the hand of God and the things that are created, we understand is created. Here's what he said. Our willingness to accept scientific claims, this is paraphrased because it's a pretty long article, but I read the source to make sure I wasn't distorting it in the paraphrasing. Our willingness to accept scientific claims that are against common sense is the key to an understanding of the real struggle between science and the supernatural. We take the side of science because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism. It is not that the method and institutions of science somehow compel us, but we are forced by a priori, which means we just take for granted, adherence to material causes, to create an apparatus that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying. Moreover, that materialism is absolute. For we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. To appeal to an omnipotent deity is to allow that miracles may happen. Now, if I condense all of that down, this man is saying, you know, some of the things we claim in science, they're pretty hard to believe. And it's not that science itself leads us to that conclusion. But our starting point is this. We have a prior assumption or knowledge that there is no God. That there is nothing supernatural. There is nothing divine. We cannot accept anything that would require that. So we automatically eliminate all those possibilities. Eliminate all. We're not even going to consider that. I'm going to narrow my vision in here. I only accept what I already believe to be the truth. And all of my pursuit, all of my science is to try to validate what I already believe. And even if there's something okay, come on now. There is no way that the order of this cosmos could have come by random chance. I can't accept that. Well, we're going to have to add billions and billions of years to it so that maybe you can accept that, I don't know how, somehow over that big a period of time, anything can happen. It's just so hard to accept. But we cannot accept that there is a God. And so it leads us to the conclusion of what we already want to believe. Folks, that can't be what our seeking for understanding and wisdom is. Whether about creation and science, falsely so called, as the scripture says, or whether it's about convictions that I hold, things that I believe or don't believe, things that I accept or won't accept, I can't be like this man. I can't be like those who say, I already have my mind made up. I already know what I'm going to accept and believe. It doesn't matter what. But that I go to the Word of God, that I humble myself and seek the Lord. Lord, bring me to an understanding, a knowledge, and a wisdom of truth. For us today, I see a danger. You know those born into material wealth, those that inherit fortunes, you know there's a danger for them. It doesn't make them inherently evil or bad people. But there's a danger for them that they become complacent, that they begin to accept a mindset of entitlement. I'm entitled to this, and I'm entitled to a certain status and all of that. Now, not talking about dollars, but talking about spiritual things. Folks, there is a spiritual wealth and treasure that I'm going to say our forefathers have gotten a hold of. And you know, there's a danger to me of being born into a situation of spiritual wealth, a wealth of understanding, a wealth of information, a wealth of knowledge of truth and things rightly taught and handed down, that I just get complacent. Well, I don't know, it feels good, and yeah, I recognize the blessing of the Lord in the services, so good enough for me. It may be good enough for today, for right now. But I can't get settled into a place of spiritual laziness and complacency, because the things we believe are going to be challenged, and they are being challenged, and people are falling by the wayside. Folks, we got to have it settled. And it's really only going to be settled not by stubbornness, not because I just refuse to consider anything else. I'm not suggesting that all of us flush out everything we've ever heard and ever known. That's what I faced when I went to college. Professors telling me and putting this stigma on, well, why do you believe that? Oh, yeah, your parents believe that. Okay, little boy. Kind of idea or mindset. But what I found was those very same professors saying, all right, class, now that we understand the world's bigger than your little preconceived ideas, let me tell you how to think. I didn't say it in those kind of words, but let me tell you how you should look at the world. Let me tell you how you should view these things. And try to go through the same kind of things that they accuse us of. It's not to say we just all, that we can never be settled and all just have open minds and go around saying, I don't really know, well, maybe what you believe is as good as what I believe type. But it is for me to always have the heart that says, Lord, I want truth. And Lord, if you show me something that I don't understand perfectly enough, I don't have the full picture, Lord, that's my prayer. That's my desire. Lord, open up more to me. Help me to see more clearly. Help me to understand more perfectly your word and your ways. We should always be open to the Lord. I don't believe we as a body should become settled and complacent. Well, we just have the truth. Thank the Lord we have it. Yes, I believe we do. But why? I can't just be an armchair saint, an armchair member of the Church of God that just accepts it because of groupthink, because everybody else accepts it and that's good enough for me. Because then when situations change and I'm put into a different circumstance, that doesn't work for me then. Because the groupthink is something else. You know, I've wondered sometimes, what's the benefit to campaign signs? I have never driven down the road and seen a sign for somebody I didn't want to vote for and say, oh, I ought to go vote for that person. Doesn't work. You know, I've realized those signs aren't for people like me. Not that I'm better than other people, but I already have my mind made up. I've already done research and I've already come to a decision of what I think. Those signs are to create an idea, a feeling that everybody thinks this way. Well, there's a lot of people that support that. I don't really know. Okay, well, it seems like that's good for everyone else. It's good for me. We can't accept truth on that basis. It's good enough for everybody else. It's good enough for me. Let's not have hearts that are just resistive and rebellious. And, well, I don't accept that until I see it. But that have a heart that says, one, I'm going to mark the perfect man and behold the upright. I'm going to see what worked and I'm going to default to, Lord, until I see something different, until I understand something different, Lord, I'm going to accept that with a quest and a seeking for, Lord, I want to understand this more perfectly. Lord, help us each one to always seek, no matter how long we've been saved, following the Lord, to always seek after understanding and wisdom. Pray for me. Amen.